That group over there was too, you know, so give Cliff a lot of credit. He's improved his football team. That's the best Tech team I've seen, top to bottom, since I've been here, so.
It is the Air Raid Podcast brought to you by VivaTheMadDoors.com. I'm Ryan. I'm joined tonight by Jonathan. How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Had a good weekend in Lubbock.
Good. It's kind of weird being out in Lubbock without a game, right?
Yeah, it was actually a little bit nice. Less people there. More Lubbock and not as much Red Raider stuff. but yeah, it's good to get back out there every once in a while.
Yeah, it's... It was. I mean... It sounds like a great trip. The weather was nice after that cold front came through.
Oh, yeah.
The majority of the Red Raider faithful or unfaithful, their eyes are set on Morgantown and what went on in Morgantown. Now, we're going to get into this because we've been doing this pod. This is now podcast 101. We've been doing this podcast for... This is actually our third football season, and we've defended Kingsbury in 2015 when they had a winning record. We defended him last year with some of the stuff that we saw going on, and we've been ardent proponents of him this year, especially with everybody knows that this is his basically contract year from what everything went on with Kirby Hocutt in the offseason. And that he needed to win at least six games. A lot of other people were unrealistic in saying he has to win nine to keep his job. And we're going to get into this. We're going to go into it pretty hard. We might have to take a break. But let's just start with the West Virginia game. And then we'll work our way to kind of where we are as a fan base, as a program. And kind of take what everybody's temperature is, because this is ridiculous. I had high blood pressure yesterday, not because of the loss, but because of the, and I'll just come out and say it, the flat out overreaction of the Texas Tech fans on social media. It was like every single person who kept saying, who wants to say I told you so, came out of the woodwork. I mean, it was like everybody that, you know, after, oh, we're going to lose to Eastern Washington, they're a really good team, and then we blew them out. Oh, we'll lose to Arizona State, and then we beat them. Oh, we're going to lose to Houston. Come talk to us after Houston. We win Houston. Well, wait until we face a good team like Oklahoma State. We lose by seven, have a chance to win. And then we blow out Kansas, and then it's like, well, let us know what happens after.
That's
Halloween.
Just Kansas.
Yeah, let's you know, and Arizona State is a down year, and Houston is not a Power Five team, so they're crap.
What did Arizona State do yesterday, last night?
I don't know. What did they do?
Well, let me check on the score of their game. Oh, wait, they beat a top five team.
Wow. They knocked they were off bad. Washington? What?
Yeah.
Crazy how that seven? Happens. And that just basically goes to show you that one week has no bearing on the next week, no matter how fans want to clarify it as if we win one game, hey, look, we're going to win out. We're going to be awesome. Hey, we're ranked. Hey, we can do this. That has no bearing on the next week. You can be excited, absolutely, but it's the same way the other way. After one loss, no matter how you lose, it has no bearing on next week at Iowa State. This game does not carry over to the following week. apparently, according to some of the comments on Facebook and Twitter and on the website, we should fire Cliff Kingsbury today. We need to fire the entire staff. Apparently, no one is understanding where Clayton Hatfield is. He's hurt, okay? Michael Barton is not our number one place kicker. He's not even probably what was projected at being number two. He's a kickoff specialist, like you've mentioned, and he's in a tough spot.
Yeah, he's built for power. If you remember that first quarter, he was kicking balls at least 8 yards deep into the end zone every single kick.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Clayton,
he had a lot of opportunities to kick off in the first half.
Yeah, and everybody's thinking like a kicker is so easy to come by. Number one, Texas Tech has had trouble with kickers for as long as I can remember. Number two, kickers don't grow on trees. I mean, they're hard to find good ones.
If you remember the Oklahoma State game, their kicker missed two chip shot.
Oh, yeah, but that doesn't count. I mean, that's just – we had a good defensive hold there, obviously. I mean, kicking, whether it's in the pros, whether it's in college, I mean, it's tough. Any given – even you're asking to directly, you know, direct a ball that's not a sphere with your toe – at distance, that's tough for anybody.
With accuracy,
yeah, that's tough for anybody. But let's go down to the nitty gritty because everybody is only focusing on one part of this game. Obviously, if you've been living under the rock, Texas Tech loses to West Virginia. 46 to 35. 46-35. And everybody's saying that this is a second half collapse, and it wasn't. Texas Tech dominated for three quarters. It was a fourth quarter collapse that was brought on by various issues. But it doesn't just come down to Cliff Kingsbury. It doesn't just come down to the supposed poor play of Nick Chmielewski. And I'm gonna pull up something on Facebook right now. A lot of people have been talking about how Chmielewski was absolutely awful. A lot of people have been asking, when are we going to see Jet Duffy? When are we going to give McClain Carter a chance? Nick Chmielewski is not a bad QB, no matter what you think. The stats don't lie about this. The numbers are there. He's putting up Texas Tech-like numbers. And in fact, the last three games against West Virginia, two were started by Mahomes, and obviously this one by Chmielewski. Chmielewski had better numbers against West Virginia than either of the two times Patrick Mahomes played him. And as you said, that wasn't about Mahomes' poor play. That was about a crappy defense not being able to hold West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Shim's stats this week, he had four touchdown passes. Over 300 yards, only one interception.
And that was late.
And it was almost the second to last play of the game or something.
Yeah.
It's a play where he looked like he was trying to force something, which when you're down 11 at the end of the game, you tend to force stuff.
Yep.
That's exactly what happened to Kansas City against Pittsburgh today. They were down late and Alex Smith tried to force something and it didn't work. So, yeah, Shim was definitely not a problem. Did he have some bad throws? Yes. Did he miss some throws? Yes. But no quarterback is going to be perfect.
And, you know, when he did move the pocket, which that's not his game, he definitely needed to step up in the pocket. But when he did move the pocket, he made the majority of his throws.
Yes. Yeah, first half, he was really good about doing that. That's why we were able to jump out to such a big lead, 28-17 going into halftime, was because of Nick Chmielewski. And especially TJ Vasher,
mm-hmm.
who had a big, big game, only two catches. But when you have only two catches and you score twice, that's a pretty good game.
And I'm sitting here on the Facebook comments. It's in the mailbag. I do the mailbag. And this one says, play calling was absolutely horrible. Team discipline has always been an issue. Our fifth-year senior QB looks like he's a high school QB. And then we posted the stat saying that Chimenek is actually playing better than Mahomes. And the immediate response is, Mahomes is in the NFL. Nick won't be, period, the end. I'm not sure how that's a legitimate response to stats, but if you're not going to refute the actual stats of it and you're going to go to crazy...
Well, Pat got drafted.
You know, it's like, okay, well, then obviously you're just going from an emotional response. The first three quarters of this game was absolutely beautiful. I thought Kingsbury and company, for all the bad coaching that they do, because they're just awful, obviously, we were rolling.
Yeah.
Defense was attacking downhill. You know, we were blowing up plays behind the line of scrimmage. Deep into
negative rushing yards.
They were negative 8 rushing yards late into the third quarter. And this is, I think, the 23rd ranked rushing team in the nation, I think.
They think they had the top running back in the Big 12.
Yeah, and Texas Tech stuffed them. And even after the fourth quarter where he kind of broke out just a little bit, they ended with like 89 yards rushing.
Less than that. 44.
Oh, really? I saw 89.
I think if you count the actual yards they had rushing, it was in there. But Will Greer technically had 7 carries for negative 36 yards.
Okay. I'll take that, too.
Yeah, Crawford only had 47 yards rushing. He averaged 3.4 a carry, and he actually had a 19-yard run. So if you take that out of the equation, then, yeah, it's a lot worse than that.
The running backs were fantastic. I thought Stockton did great. I thought Trey King did great. Where Nisby was or wasn't, I couldn't tell you. It may have been something, you know, this is not a video game. This is not, hey, no one gets cramps or gets tight or pulls or strains something in warmups or anything like that. You know, that may have well happened. He may have been out there running a little bit, getting warmed up, and just felt a twinge, and they thought it was best to hold him out because you've got Stockton, you've got Trey King, you've got DeMarcus Felton, and believe it or not, we didn't really miss Nisby other than maybe giving it to him on the goal line.
Yeah, he came in at one point. Him and Stockton were in the backfield on it may have been like a first and goal from the one. And Stockton had a false start, so it was pushed back. And at that point, he went out of the game. So I think that play was probably going to go to Nisby, and Stockton was probably a lead blocker.
Yeah, he was trying to get out in front of it, yeah.
And because he got pushed back, he got taken out, and he did end up with 2 carries for a yard.
I mean, and again, it's one of those things where everybody's asking where he is. I don't know. It's not important.
The thing that Cliff has said is he came in late, and for a running back, our offense is very hard to learn, the blocking schemes.
Mm-hmm.
And with Mason Reed out this week, I don't think he even traveled with the team.
He did not.
He's our best blocker by far. And so the other running backs were having to do a lot of blocking. And so I think that's why Nisby didn't get as much play time.
Yeah, and you know, and that's another good point is, you know, Mason Reed was out. He's kind of a, believe it or not, an X factor in goal line, red zone situations. He's a great blocker. Octavius Morgan didn't play. I heard from Kingsbury after the game that he's not hurt. He's good to go. So I don't know what the situation is there, but the offense or the defense played pretty well, both. And until the fourth quarter, both in you know, pass defense and rush defense, we only gave up 396 yards of offense. Now, think about that. Think about where West Virginia was after three quarters, if they didn't even get to 400 yards of offense after that.
For the whole game.
Yeah, for the huge comeback in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Texas Tech was up 14-10 after one. They were up 28-17 at halftime. There was that kind of issue, fourth and one from the goal line. Texas Tech had an opportunity to punch it in, really put it on, be up 35-17 at halftime. Opted for the field goal. Obviously, they missed it, which is always going to get second-guessed. Once again, Kingsbury went to the percentages. He probably had Emo and Joe Robinson in his ear, and he just did it. Now, this is the third time that we've been fourth and one and didn't necessarily run the ball like we were supposed to. I think one happened against Arizona State, and then one happened against Oklahoma State, and now this one. Is that correct?
That sounds right. And I have some theories on why we decided to kick on that fourth and one and not go for it at the end of the half. One of them being we did not want to give West Virginia the momentum by them stuffing us on a fourth and goal going into halftime. It's just not something that you want to do. You want to take the points. And also, I think we wanted to get our kicking game build up a little bit more confidence in the kicker and Bard. Something like that, putting some points on the board, making the field goal. I think he felt it was a high percentage chance at making that field goal, and so that's why he did opt to go for it.
Yeah, I think the only downside was that it was on a hash mark and not an extra point.
Right.
I think I don't remember. I know it was a, if you're going to be in that spot, I would think if it's even in the remote possibility to that you're going to not make it. And obviously Cliff Kingsbury never thinks that he's not going to make it. But I would probably try to do something to the middle of the field to where if you do get stopped on the run or whatever, you're in a better position angle wise for your kicker.
Yeah, I think the play before it was a run over to the right side.
To the right, yeah. So, we didn't get it. We're still up. We come out after halftime. We're forced to punt. Tech forces a punt right back. We run the ball down, score a touchdown. We're up 35-17, so no harm, no foul there. Other than, hey, we would have been up 42-17. Yeah. But we were up 35-17. They come right back, and this was the drive that just – there was a penalty on every play.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, now, anybody that has played football, anybody who has watched football, knows that holding, pass interference, those types of plays happen on every play, whether it's egregious or not.
Affects the play or not.
Yeah, even the worst teams penalty-wise – or the best teams penalty-wise, the ones that never commit any penalties, there's two or three penalties a game, they're holding. Their offensive line is holding it sometimes. It's just, are they wrapping them up by the neck, or is it a little bit more subtle? Is it, they're doing pass interference, pushing and shoving. But anybody who has watched it understands that there is no way possible that Texas Tech had a legitimate 16 penalties for 159 yards.
No.
And I will just go ahead and tell you that the entire fourth quarter, Texas Tech didn't have a penalty. So why all of a sudden after the Big 12 refs were so happy, and I'm not one to ever say that I blame it on the refs. If you have to blame it on the refs, you didn't play well enough. But 16 penalties?
One pass interference call that they called. I can't remember who it was, but we did not touch the receiver.
Yeah, I mean even Hunter, our former site manager, said the same thing. Like, I'm not one to do this, but anybody who's watching this knows that this is complete crap because there was no pass. At least half those penalties were non calls. Like, it was just one after another, pass interference, pass interference, pass interference. And you're like, what is going on?
Yeah, it got to the point where if a Tech defender was near a receiver and the ball went to him, it was going to be a pass interference call.
Yeah. You know, so whatever. It was 35-17, and that was the march. Texas Tech was stopping them. There was a pass interference on third down that it was a slant call to Sills over the middle, and he had to lay out for it. It was that bad of a throw. He had to lay out for it, and our cornerback went with him and, you know, started to wrap him up midair. It was uncatchable. You know, it would not have been called pass interference in the pros.
I think that was the fourth down play.
It was a drive stopper. It was one that we would have gotten the ball back either punt or on downs. There was no way that it was going to be pass interference. But I think just the referee seeing the guy lunge for it, like go diving for it, and the Tech guy right there on his ankles, he just threw the flag. And I'm like, what in the world? That ball was nowhere near him. He wasn't going to catch that anyway. And
yeah, and there was one play where both the receiver and our defender went up for the ball, and neither of them got it. But it was just a 50-50 kind of ball,
mm-hmm.
and there was contact when both players were going for the ball, and so it was pass interference.
And then, you know, and you want the calls to be consistent. And what earlier in the game, Des Smith had a chance for an interception down near the goal line in the first half. And he was yanked down by his face mask because he was in front of the guy, and you know he just broke it up. There's no pass interference on that one.
Nope.
He was actually yanked down by the face mask to, you know, to break that pass up because he would have intercepted it. And the announcers were saying, "Hey, that's a great play to, you know, to make sure that he didn't get that." It's like he yanked him down by the face mask, and then you go one quarter later, and you it's a 50-50 ball and you're both going up for it, and all of a sudden that's pass interference on Tech. It really seemed, and I know I'm making excuses, a lot of people are going to have an issue, but that drive with as in a rhythm as those Big 12 refs were throwing flags, it really seemed that it was like, okay, we cannot allow this to become a blowout. They interjected themselves into that game to an incredible degree. Not just calling it fair, you know, oh, that is pass interference, we're going to call that. But when there actually is nothing there to just throw it just because you can. That,
just because.
Oh, that was ridiculous. It really started to, to reek of a little, I guess, home cooking. But be that as it may, we gave up the touchdown. We come back down. We're going to kick a field goal to go up 38-24. So another two touchdown lead. We miss it. And then we come right back. It's a sack. And then on third down, he's rolling. He throws it up and it's picked by Des Smith.
It was an arm punt, basically.
Yeah, it was an arm punt. But Des Smith intercepts it. We have all the momentum with 1 second left to go in the third. Now, so much good happened in those first three quarters. It was unbelievable. Gibbs was bringing the blitz there, you know, after we missed the field goal. Defense was still flying around.
Get our interception.
Got our interception. And the only issue I had with the play calling was this sequence right here, the right after the interception. And it was a pass play that got 0 yards. It was a little screen. It was like a little bubble screen to end the quarter. And that just felt so deflating that we didn't, you know, at least pass it downfield, try to get something, some more yardage. Or what I would have preferred, run it. You just, on your previous two drives, you were running the ball extremely well. You even scored, you know, the big Trey King and Justin Stockton show on the drive before that, you know, and ultimately got you the touchdown. run the ball, get 3 or 4 yards, and have a 2nd and 6 coming out, and then run it again. Like, start imposing your will on West Virginia. And it was a pass, punt. And
that started the string of 3rd and long, and Nick started rolling out every single play.
Yeah.
Every single 3rd down.
Yeah. And, I see, again, a lot of people in the comments section have said, hey, he didn't play bad. I wish he stood in the pocket longer sometimes. He occasionally panics. That's true. That's true. He did tend to panic there late. He does need to step up in the pocket. But he did extend plays earlier and was able to complete passes very well in the first half and at times in the 3rd quarter. So I'll give you all that one. But he didn't play bad overall. He played better than any Texas Tech quarterback has played against West Virginia since 2014. And that was not Patrick Mahomes. That was Davis Webb. So, I think that, may that stop after the interception gave a little bit, momentum for West Virginia. They started like, okay, we've got to start doing this. It seemed like Gibbs didn't really start bringing the blitz anymore.
We started
sitting back a little too much. Their running game started to pick up because of that a little bit. And you're right, there just didn't seem to be a change. When I say you're right, some of the fans, it didn't seem to be a change. There didn't seem to be an adjustment after that with bringing pressure or trying to stop that run that they had done so well the first 3 quarters. Ultimately, Tech didn't have an answer. Including the 3rd quarter, West Virginia scored 29 unanswered points to win, and a lot of people are upset, and rightfully so. This one hurt. I had a pit in my stomach because this one got away. We could have been 5-1 in great shape. Should have been 5-1 going into Iowa State, and we let it get away. But I don't think it's on Kingsbury. I don't think it's in any one player. People
you win
are talking
as a team, about, you lose as a team.
Yeah, and people are talking about, Michael Barton is awful. Why is he our kicker? He's not our kicker. Clayton Hadfield is our kicker, and he's hurt. Now, everybody's saying, well, let's pull someone out of the stands like Mike Leach did. It's like, yeah, let's see how that goes. Let's see if you get any better results by pulling someone out of the stands for a 40-yarder at any distance, at any place on the field, and see if he can do it. A lot of kickers have issue doing it against air, just kicking in pregame. And that's why most kickers don't get scholarship offers. They're all walk-ons. Every single one of them is a walk-on. Clayton Hadfield was a walk-on. Barden was a walk-on. Clayton Hadfield didn't get a scholarship until after the Texas game in 2015. And he was great last year, except the missed extra point against Oklahoma State. And then he's been hurt most of this year. Good news. Hey, let's look on the bright side. Probably going to get a medical redshirt. Another 2 years for him to be on this team because he's a junior this year. Another 2 years to have a decent, solid kicker going forward. It is what it is. And to think that Cliff Kingsbury is the only one not making adjustments. Like, oh, he was just static. He didn't do anything. There were adjustments being made, but you also have to take into account the other side. And yes, Dana has a little bit more experience than Cliff. Would it be bad to say that Cliff was outcoached by Bill Snyder?
No.
Because you kind of expect that. And that's just coach versus coach. You can still be outcoached and win. You can still outcoach and lose. And for 3 quarters, Cliff had Dana, by the neck. Dana didn't know what to do.
Oh yeah, he was sweating pretty hard there for a while.
I mean, West Virginia, they were looking at 3-3 on the season, and with their remaining schedule, were staring 6-6 in the face, because they still had OU, Oklahoma State, and I think Iowa State, Kansas State,
Texas.
Yeah, Texas. I mean, you winnable games, obviously, because they're winnable for us as well. But when you're 3-3 and you've lost two in a row, you know, that can.
Yeah, because they have a stretch where they go to Manhattan, home against UT, and then to Norman. So back and forth across the country.
Yeah. You know, and they got it done. But that game, this loss, has no bearing on next week or how the season's going to go. Before this game, Texas Tech was ranked. They were 4-1. Some of us were talking about every game is winnable. We're looking at 8 or 9 wins this year, which some of us predicted. You know, hey, it's going in the right direction. And now that we lost this game, it's we need to
They'll
fire
be lucky
Cliff
to win
now.
Again.
There's a lot of people calling for Cliff, the I told you so's, calling for Cliff to be fired today, which is ridiculous for a 4-2 team that's still getting votes in the top 25. I mean, we're not LSU who can afford to sit there and go, well, we've had enough 10-11 win seasons. We haven't won the national championship. Let's fire him. I think these are the same people that wanted Leach gone because he could never get us over the hump. That 8-9 win seasons weren't good enough. Like, oh, he can't win the big game to win the Big 12. And guess what? Mike Leach did have a classic Mike Leach moment. And I don't blame Mike Leach. I blame the team. But number 8 in the country, on the road against Cal, a very bad Cal team, or a very mediocre Cal team, and got blown out. They were held to 3 points.
Quarterback couldn't complete a pass to save his life, except
this
it was
is
to
Luke
the other
Falk.
Team.
This is Heisman contender, well, last week. Heisman contender Luke Falk, who was a walk-on, is doing everything right, has come back and won games. He threw 5 picks. Every completion was to the other team. And then he had a lost fumble. He had 6 total turnovers on his watch.
He's no Kenny Hill.
He's he's no Nick Szymanek either. Nick Szymanek would have done better, but it happens. Clemson lost to Syracuse. It happens.
Washington lost to Arizona State.
Oh, is that same average down year Arizona State team? That's the only reason why we beat them.
Yes.
Even though they returned every playmaker from last year that put 68 points on us. Come on, guys. Come on, fans. Understand, yes, you're emotional. You're reacting to it. You're frustrated. You're upset. But that does not negate that we had the number one strength of schedule coming into the season. And no, just because we beat a team means that team is average or down. Just because we lose to a team doesn't mean, we're horrible, or West Virginia was is below average. West Virginia was ranked last week. They lost to number 8 TCU in Fort Worth. Game day was there by 7. They were tied late in the game in the fourth quarter. And they lost by 7.
We're so bad, then why does them beating us give them a ranking again?
I mean, how? Texas Tech fans, we tend to see what we want to see. We tend to have our minds made up already, and no matter what the stats say, apparently Nick Szymanek is a bad quarterback. Even though this year his stats are 70% completion percentage, 5 points higher, mind you, than Mahomes' best year. 9.12 yards per attempt, so it's not just screens and stuff. He's chunking it downfield. 18 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. That's not bad. An adjusted QBR of 80.9.
That's not bad. I'll take that 4-2 record.
His worst game this year, his worst, was against Kansas, according to the stats.
And that's just because we didn't have to pass a lot in that game because the running game was doing so well.
I mean, come on now. He's not a bad quarterback. He's a very good quarterback. I would say he's better than Sonny Cumbie was when he was playing here. He could give any of our fifth-year seniors, Cumbie, Hodges, maybe not Simmons, but Cumbie or Hodges, he could give a run for his money. We have a running game. We were talking about this earlier. Texas Tech actually improved in total defense. They probably would have been top 90 team if they didn't have to play the fourth quarter. But even still
they did top 10 offense.
Yeah, I mean, they still played really, really well. They still kept their top 10 offensive ranking, total offensive ranking. Let me pull up. I want to see what their rush defense is now after that game.
All right, I'm looking at offense right now.
Their rush defense.
Yards per game, number 7 in the country.
Yep, yeah, we're number 7 in the country. That's where we were going into that game. And that was with that awful fourth quarter.
5th in passing yards a game.
What are we in running?
Let's see. We're doing 167.5 a game. That puts us right about middle of the pack, 64th. Yes, we're averaging over 150 yards a game on the ground.
Where's Texas Tech? Oh, my goodness. Texas Tech's rush defense. This is Texas Tech against the run. But before you look it up, I was on page 3. I was looking for them in the hundreds. So I'll tell you right now, they're not in the hundreds like we were last year. Tell me where Texas Tech is rush defense. Give a guess.
I'm going to say around 50, 40s or 50s.
Guess again.
Do I need to go to a lower number as in a higher?
I can't tell you that. I'm just saying guess again.
60s.
Guess again.
30s.
Yes. We're ranked 32 in the country in rush defense.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for pass interference, bogus pass. Now, there was a couple, granted. I'll be completely honest. I'm a homer, but I'm not that much of a homer. I'm the guy, if you watch a game with me where I'm calling out plays that should have been holding against us, like, oh, we got held there. There's a flag. Oh, there's no flag? That should have been a flag. So I'm pretty objective. People hate watching Tech games with me because I'll call it out on our own team. But there was a couple that were legitimately pass interference or holding, at least. There were a lot of them that had no bearing as far as anything. Even Don Williams for the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. We're talking about Don Williams, who asked Cliff Kingsbury about what went on in 1953 at Texas Tech. And he's like, I don't know about that, Don. Said that basically Texas Tech was getting flagged for showing any semblance of pass defense. He was like, this is ridiculous. So let's not talk about the team discipline as far as penalties. Like, this was just an egregious amount all on Texas Tech. It wasn't.
Somebody else with Tech Sports said maybe it was Hunter. When you have this many penalties, it's not a playing problem. It's an officiating problem.
Yes. You know, West Virginia had 9 for 93. I would say Texas Tech was probably somewhere in there. I think that's a very reasonable estimate to say Texas Tech was probably 9 penalties, 8 penalties, maybe even 10 penalties for 100 yards. There's no way that they were 16 for 159.
Definitely.
That's... They were just, they had that flag spring-loaded, just fly it out.
And talking about the rush defense, West Virginia, even after this game, is still averaging 185 yards a game.
Yeah, because they were ranked really high in rush offense.
Yeah, they dropped down to 50. They're tied with Michigan for 50th right now.
And they were I think they were 23rd going in, I want to say.
So they played us and dropped 27 spots.
Yeah. Just to let you know, Texas Tech has a better rush defense than Oklahoma, Kansas State, Texas A&M, South Carolina. I'm just throwing out traditional defensive powers. Who else are they better at this year? Florida, LSU. Hi, Fajoco. They're better than Oklahoma State, Nebraska, Miami, Florida, Arizona State. I mean, come on. They're doing good things. The offense is improving. Defense is improving. I think if there's one area that Texas Tech could improve upon, it's special teams. We had this problem last year. You do have one of the better special team coaches in Joe Robinson. I saw someone also post that he needs to be fired.
Is there anybody who doesn't need to be fired?
Apparently not. Apparently 4-2.
How about Gibbs? Is he good still? Or is that one interception not enough for some fans?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was expecting more than just one takeaway. You know, I was wanting that double-digit turnover margin. So, yeah, fire him too. I can't believe we're only at
their
9.
Their quarterback couldn't pass any balls to anybody. So there were no defenders to where he was throwing the ball.
It's just I think even Viva on the Twitter account put something up that said the mood in the first three quarters versus the last one. It was let me see if I can pull this up. It says mood in the first half versus mood in the second half. And I had tweeted out via on Viva's Twitter I was covering for Albert. It said, biggest difference I can see in this game is Tech has no fear on either side of the ball, unlike the last 2 years. There's a lot going into that. And someone said that. And can we just state the obvious again? This defense has changed so much. Like, I'd even said, in case you missed it, Texas Tech's defense is good. And another tweet at the end of the game says, Cliff Kingsbury doesn't know how to run a program, how to manage when ahead or behind, how to coach D or special teams, how to manage recruits or team members. Oh, my goodness. It's just
laughable.
It's very laughable. I mean, I understand. I was upset. I was frustrated. I was
yeah, this is not us saying that we're happy with the performance.
No, not at all. I'm saying at this point, when there's something so epically bad that happened, and I will say this collapse is as far as bad goes, up there with 2015 Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Except that one was over the entire second half and part of the second quarter, as opposed to it was a gradual instead of all in one quarter. Even though they did pretty much do the same thing in the fourth quarter. I didn't hear much about that one. But, I mean, it's bad. We're not saying it's good, but when it's this bad, you have to take a step back and say, okay, what did go right in this game? Where's the improvement? Where's the positives? Where can we sit there and say, okay, hey, we're still 4-2? Because, you know, if Kingsbury, and I always see it as a coach, being as I am one, Kingsbury has to go in that locker room. And I don't think these guys are looking at their Twitter comments today. They're not down about it. They're focused on Iowa State. They're talking about coming back stronger, never happening again, and all that stuff. You have to go in there and sit there and say, that's the way football goes sometimes. You can't put a reason on it. It happens every week in football. You saw upsets around the country from top five teams, top 10 teams got beat. Most of them not in, even in the top 25.
Yeah. They were teams like Arizona State winning, Syracuse.
And not saying that they're bad teams, because we know that Arizona State is a quality opponent. I would say Cal is not really a quality opponent. They are 3-3. They're decent. I just think everything kind of caught on fire. It just one of those games.
Well, I think the whole state of California is actually on fire right now.
Easy. Well, they were playing with their hair on fire, that's for sure. See, that's insensitive. I apologize. But it doesn't carry over. I no one for those three programs, no, even Washington State, who's been at the bottom of the barrel for so long until Leach came to them, is thinking that they're going to lose next week's game because they only scored 3 points against Cal. I mean, I don't see that. I see an improved Iowa State team. They just shut out Kansas. They beat Oklahoma, but I don't see a world beater.
Right?
Can you pull up their schedule? Who did they lose to? They lost twice. So who did they lose to?
We talking Arizona State?
I'm sorry.
You said Arizona?
No,
State?
No, Iowa State.
Iowa State. Iowa State has lost to Iowa by 3. And to Texas by 10. Texas, who almost knocked off Oklahoma.
And the same Texas that looked lost against Oklahoma for a good portion of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were lucky to still be in the game at halftime.
It was 17-0 at one point, like, easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is... I don't see this as the end of the world. I think we're still going to go bowling. I still think we have a great shot for 8 wins. It hurts because we had this one. It wasn't even a back and forth, can we pull it out? It was, we had it, and we let it get away. And I think that's what fans are so frustrated with. But there's a lot of complicated things that go on in a game that a lot of times we don't see. We just see the team kind of on their heels for whatever reason. We see the refs interjecting, but we don't talk much about that. We blame Szymanek for – he had a great game, missed a couple of throws late, but had a great game for most of it, and we blame him for losing? Come on now. I think we need some perspective as Tech fans. I think a lot of fans were upset that, believe it or not, I'm going to say this. I believe a lot of Tech fans were upset with the success Tech was having this year. Because a lot of them wanted Kingsbury gone last year.
Yep.
They were waiting for this to be such an epic failure of a season. Like, a lot of them picked us 2-10, 1-9, 4-8, saying, what happens if Kingsbury gets, you know, is 2-5 at the middle of the season? Does he get fired mid-season? They were ready for him to go. And every time we won and people were getting excited, there was always those couple of people that would be like, yeah, get back to me after we play Oklahoma State. Oh, get back to me after we play Oklahoma, you know, after Halloween. And they're just waiting for Texas Tech to lose to sit there and say, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
Kingsbury can't coach. Kingsbury can't win the game. And another thing, I don't think they're upset that we lost. They're upset of who we lost to. Texas Tech fans are so into being ranked, getting that respect on a national stage. And they're tired of the feeling that we only beat Kansas and Iowa State in conference.
Play each of them once a year.
So, I know it would be good to beat West Virginia, but I think that was the main thing. Like, we can't beat supposed good teams. And that, we have half the team, half the fans calling West Virginia average, and had the half calling them good. And we're split as a fan base. This is the worst I've seen it since Tuberville. I guarantee you firing Kingsbury is not going to fix Texas Tech's problems. And the fact that he's got us on an upward trend right now. You know, if he loses the rest of the games, if he loses out and we go 4-8, which I think a lot of Tech fans hope he does, just so that they can fire him and get somebody else in here, which is sad, then we can talk. But if he beats Iowa State, Kansas State, upsets TCU at home, that's 7 wins right there. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with losing to Oklahoma, Texas, Baylor?
I don't know about Baylor.
I'm just saying, if I mean, those are winnable games, right?
Am I okay with going 7-5 this year? Of course.
But do you think Kansas State is a juggernaut that we're going to lose to at home?
No.
Do they look like they're any shell of what they were last year?
No.
As far as being good?
They can't score very well. Their defense is average to good. But in Lubbock, no.
No. Baylor's a neutral site. They haven't won a game. They went 0-6. They got blown out by Oklahoma State. They could be winless when they come to Arlington, which would be funny. Texas doesn't look like I just don't see how people look at this, you know, the remainder of the schedule and sit there and say, if we go 6-6, that'll be by accident, and it's most likely that we won't win another game. But if we had won that game against West Virginia, they'd be saying, oh, look, we're top 20. We're in the driver's seat in the Big 12. We're going to win 9 games. Cool it. Stop overreacting. Be objective. The key point of being objective is to not go with every ebb and flow, win and loss. Just sit there, be excited when we win, be disappointed when we lose, but have the perspective of it's a game. There are two teams going at it. Things change throughout the game. Adjustments are made throughout the game. Whether the adjustments work or not, maybe aren't necessarily the criteria of a bad coach. Just because you call the right play and it's not executed, is that poor play calling? If it's like Mahomes and it's a poor play call, but Mahomes completes the pass anyway, is that good play calling?
No. Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. This is getting confusing.
It depends on my mood at that time.
All I can say is Texas Tech stood up in the fourth quarter against Arizona State. Texas Tech stood up in the fourth quarter against Houston. Texas Tech stood up in the fourth quarter against Oklahoma State and lost it late, obviously. But they got a stop, had a chance to go down and take the lead. Yes, Texas Tech has not put away teams like they should or how we would want them to. We had a chance to put Arizona State away. We didn't. We had a chance to put Houston away. We didn't. We had a chance to pull away from Oklahoma State, believe it or not. We were up 14-7. We didn't. But that's not just on Kingsbury and, hey, we didn't go down and score every single drive. That's football.
And that's taking away from what the other team is doing.
Yeah.
The other team is not going to lay down. The other team's going to fight. And sometimes that fight is harder.
It sucked. We're not going to lie. It did suck. It was horrible.
But then the Astros won after that, and that was cool.
Arizona State won after that, so that was cool. I wonder what the fan base would be like when if we beat Iowa State next week? Are we gonna all? Are we gonna?
It's still? Gonna be. Oh, that was a fluke, and we're just gonna get beaten, Norman.
We're the most manic, depressive, bipolar fan base I have ever seen. I don't know what it is about sports in 2017 or recently, but the amount of vitriol when you win, or I mean when you lose, calling out players by name, saying they need to be benched or sacked like we're a pro blog or something. I mean, do you remember that kicker for Alabama who missed three against Auburn? I think it was the run back game or whatever, and he got death threats on Twitter. And it's like
the kick six.
It's like, how it? You're getting angry at the kicker. you're threatening to kill the kicker, like legitimately on Twitter. Because he missed a couple of field goals in a college game, you need to reevaluate your priorities in life. Just gonna say,
yeah.
You might need a life if that's the case. just maybe. Because I guarantee you, even if Michael Barton had hit all those, say he hit all three, right?
Okay.
Now we're down by 11. So add 9, we're down 2, correct?
Yes, that's math.
Thank you. Math is never my strong suit. So we would be down 2.
That put us at 44.
Yeah, so we'd be down 2. Say we're driving, and then we get to the 25-yard line. Fourth down, gotta pull out the field goal kicker. So it's a 42-yarder. And he shanks it.
He lost us the game.
He needs to be benched. Kingsbury got outcoached.
Chimnick played horrible. Couldn't score a touchdown there.
We couldn't stop the run.
We had to kick four field goals instead of score touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't stop the run. Might as well just tackle the guys at the line of scrimmage because we're going to be called for pass interference anyway. I just think this team has a lot more to show. I did see some very, very measured responses. Kyle Jacobson had some very measured responses supporting this team and Cliff Kingsbury. We had two former site managers defending this team, which was funny, because we've gone to bat against them several times the last three seasons when they were here over the state of this team, which is it's good to hear that. But
at the end of the day, we're still 4-2. 6 weeks ago, if you said going into the Iowa State game we'll be 4-2, I guarantee you 100% of fans would have said, okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, and you know, you make a good point, because a lot of these same fans had the same types of calls after the Oklahoma State loss. And we saw guys like Kyle and a couple others say, hey, if you were 3-1 at this point, every single one of y'all would have taken it. Because the fact is, the majority of the fans didn't think that we would be as good as we are. We're still getting votes in the top 25. I think if you actually count all the way down, we're technically ranked 36th in the country. And guess what? We were 36th in the country before Oklahoma State. So it's not like, you know, I think coming into the season, we were, what, 70th?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
And
before the game started, we were making lists nationally for one of the top four surprise teams in the country, in a good way.
I think the next six games are going to be exciting. I think if you wrote off this team before the season, you shouldn't be watching. And if you wrote them off again saying Kingsbury should be fired, we're not going to win another game, I hope you don't watch either. Because I bet you're just fun to be around at parties. Bet you're the life of the party if you're one of those guys. Just depressed out of your mind. Yeah, so I'm going to be dealing with hate with the mailbag. If you disagreed with anything that we were talking about, any of our points here in the podcast, send me your hate too. That's all I can do is just, I'll take it. And I'll put up some good arguments. Whether you believe it or not, I'll put up some good arguments. So, Jonathan, you have anything to close?
I'm good. Talked a lot here. I hope people actually listen to the whole thing.
Huh? You're actually going to turn this on?
Hope people actually listen to the whole thing.
Yeah. it'll be good. It'll be good. Again, Thursday we will record the preview for Iowa State. It'll be posted on Friday. If you have any questions, put them in the comments for that preview. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes. And another thing, we've said this a long time ago. This is the last thing I'll say. If you're one of the guys that don't like Kingsbury as far as want a new coach, you probably don't like us either, obviously. But the good news is when Kingsbury's gone, I'll be leaving VTM as well. So I'll go ahead and throw that out there publicly. That has been my agreement with the last two site managers. It's my agreement with the current site manager that my contract, my employment or volunteering at VTM is tied to Kingsbury's employment at Texas Tech. So take that what you will. But anyway, for Jonathan, I'm Ryan, and this has been the Air Raid Podcast brought to you by BeaverTheMatadors.com.